Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening to everyone. This is Dr. Kemp, Breaking Chains. This is the origin of man, and going from also a biblical perspective. Before we start our show tonight, I would just like to just ask that everyone would still do their social distancing and mask up. We're still just in the fight. We haven't came up with a cure nor a vaccine. The CDC asks us to mask up and not to congregate. This is a disease that we've never faced anything like it before. So it's going to take time, and let us be patient with our scientists, epidemiologists, and others who are working tirelessly to come up with a cure or some vaccine that can help us with COVID-19. I pray today, and I ask that our audience would pray for those who have lost loved ones to this virus. Pray for those who are still in hospital being treated for the virus. And pray that we gain much knowledge and understanding of this virus and won't be so complacent and just go out in the community unmasked and not worrying about our social distancing, because all we're going to do is prolong this disease, this plague that's upon the land with us today. And I think that God has given us opportunity to take time in this study. And before I go into it, as I look over the information that I've been giving you, I want to make this statement, and it's truly a statement that need to be said. By no way that the information I'm give is to be used as racist, because far too long these things have been done to the African American or to the African people or people of color. Racist people have tried to downplay everything that was invented or discovered by blacks. The beautiful cities and structures through archaeological findings that were for blacks. But to talk about the Bible and knowing that the characters or the main characters of the Bible were of African descent, were dark-skinned people or black, and they've been whitewashed, but it's not for, and that was to make, the Europeans did that to make people of color have low self-esteem in the figure they didn't play a part in the Bible, and that the world was started by a Caucasian or a European race. Everything had been European, and that's so far from the truth. It's not for us to do what they've done and to put, because the God that we serve is a spirit, and so it's not about the color of God, because he's a spirit. But it's great that we understand that the lies and the deception that have been perpetrated by Europeans, every discovery, every invention was written in history the way it's written. It was made by Europeans, and they were more or less the newcomers on the block, per se. Their civilization date back thousands of years. The others in Africa and in Asia, they predated anything in Europe. While Europe was still in caves, they had civilization. So it's not to make us have this like pen of euphoria about we're better than anyone else, because that's what been perpetrated against the people of color. And again, I don't see that Christianity Judaism or whatever would even stand for it. I like to always give a refresher of where we started off from. And the reason I like to get a refresher because each Tuesday evening we have new individuals who are tuning in. And I'm a firm believer if you don't get disturbed from the beginning, it's hard to kind of to compilate it, to put it together. And that's why I try to always come back and bring it up, and I will move smoothly through it. But the most important thing is that we understand where we came from and who was the original man. And what I'll be quoting to you is from European or Caucasian anthropologists, archaeologists, botanists, geneticists. I'll be quoting from them, and even their reports will state that life started in Africa. And I'll give you the names. I'll give you when they wrote their information, when the fossils were found. And I also give about the geneticists and what they say, what color the people would have to be by genetic. Now, I've always started off by talking about the oldest fossil that they found, and one of the oldest fossil really was called Australopithecus, and it's lucid or Australopithecus, Africanus. This fossil skeleton was found in southern Ethiopia in 1974, and not simply because of her ending, but the understanding of the process of evolution. They showed that she walked upright, by they was able to find parts of the skeleton and showed that she did walk upright. And she was found by Professor Donald Johansson and Tom Guy, who was looking for rocks, like, and they found Lucy. And they tried to date her back, and they dated her back to 3.18 million years ago. That's a long time. And all of this came out of Africa. And we know that the people of Africa, through the heat and the climate there, that the people were of dark complexion. And even later on, Professor Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey, was British paleontologists. They also, they discovered the first fossil of proconsul skull, an extinct, and there was an extinct ape, though, which is now believed to be an ancestor to human. She also discovered a robust Zanzanthropus skull in O.D. Gorge in Tanzania. And the word Zanzanthropic just talks about Northeast Africa. When you look it up, Northeast Africa. All these fossils were not found in Europe, the continent of Europe, but they were found in around sub-Saharan Africa. Several archaeologists and anthropologists found fossils of apes, but they found humans too. And while excavating in the O.D. Gorge in Africa in 1960. Now, when they found these fossils, they also found different weapons that were made. And it said that many years back, millions of years ago, that the people were able to make weapons. They had a mind. They were not able, but they were able to have weapons, and they had different things that they could have, like pottery. They were able to make things, so there was not. Now, even to go even deeper into sub-Saharan Africa and the first five things coming out of Africa, we trace our DNA back to a maternal inherited what you call mitochondrial within ourselves. The mitochondrial within ourselves, all humans have theoretically a common ancestor. Now, this common ancestor was a woman, and her name, they call her mitochondrial Eve, like Adam and Eve, but they call her mitochondrial Eve. And they said that the skeleton, what they found, was right at 200,000 years ago in South Africa. And they say she was not just the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to mitochondrial Eve. What are you saying? Within her DNA and that of her peers exists all the genetic variations we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. And what does that say? Every individual, whether you live on the continent of China, Africa, Europe, America, wherever you live, we're all carriers her DNA. This African lady will all carry her DNA. See, we might have, since then, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups we see today, but we still carry the mitochondrial DNA of this woman that they call mitochondrial Eve. Now, to show you that it even go further, and you're talking about 200,000 years ago, and I know that many people today are talking, and many people are trying to say, the Bible talks about, amen, the Bible talks about like it's 6,000 years old when Adam and Eve roamed the earth, but the Bible does not say exactly anything about that. The Bible says, this is what the Bible says, it does not give a specific date that the world was created. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on the face of the deep. So it did not give it any a time frame. They just said in the beginning. So we're not going to say that the Bible is wrong, because you could go back and find out that Lucy might have been 3.18 million years old. Mitochondrial Eve was about 200,000 years ago. No, we're not going to do that. But I want you to understand this too. They also found the skeletal remains of a man who died about 315 years before Christ. And they found him in southern Africa, and he is the closest relative yet known to humanity that's common to the common ancestor of mitochondrial Eve. They know that he was a fisherman on the coast of southern Africa, and he had the closest genetic match to Eve. Now, they found the skeletal remain in what they call St. Helens Bay in South Africa by a white archaeologist. The archaeologist's name was Andrew Smith at the University of Cape Town. Now, we know that Africa is the cradle of civilization. And we know that we had this part that says out of Africa. And we want to say, well, Dr. Kemp, well, something is strange. How, if everyone came from Africa, how did we end up with white people? And how are they white and then people are black and some are white? Well, that's a great question to ask, because then you would have to go to the geneticists and botanists. And this is another Caucasian, his name. He's the top one geneticist. His name is Gregoire Mendel. So these names that I give you, you can look them up. I've taken you to Donald Johanson and Tom Guy, I've taken you to Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Leakey, their discoveries. And fine. Now we're going to talk about Gregor Mendel, a science of genetics and botany. Now, what he did through genetics and things, he came up with about the origin and the man, the races and things. Well, how did they come about? Because it comes about with out of Africa. Okay, when you look at out of Africa, that people, if the people left out of Africa and moved and went up into Europe where it was cold, it wasn't hot anymore, and they went through a change. Okay, we're going to find out exactly what happened about this change that happened, because it's called a mutation. It's called a mutation. And a mutation or mutant is something that's not pure. A mutation really deals with something that's not pure, and it means that you can't use off of something. It's a mutation. But now let's look at this. Mendel wrote about, as he studied the different genotypes, and he found out that we all have these different chromosomes. If you find a female, she have the X chromosome, and a male have X and Y, but females don't have Y chromosomes. And we pass them on. But then he started talking about genes, the recessive and the dominant genes. And this is something that said, and I know that my Caucasian brothers wouldn't like to hear this, but this is not a black geneticist. It's the top geneticist, Gregor Mendel. He'll tell you that black and brown skin is dominant. That light skin or white skin is a recessive gene. That dark skin is a dominant gene. You could get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive. Well, what you're saying, Dr. Kemp, what I'm saying is a white person, two whites cannot produce a black person. But you could take two black persons and come up with an albino. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to work this out. Blue eyes is recessive. Brown eyes is dominant. I laugh all the time when I think about it. Even with different type animals, I look at the Kentucky Derby, and I don't see white horses running in there. They want a thoroughbred, mean purebred. And so when you look at these super black, dark-skinned, African-Americans or Africans, you're looking at something that's a thoroughbred. You're looking at something that's purebred. It's nothing to be ashamed about. This is what people mutated from you. And this is what Mendel is talking about. And Mendel had like three laws that he had. He had the law of inheritance. In other words, we inherit things from our ancestors. That's why a lot of times when we go back into, we do our DNA.com or something, or National Geographic genome. And I looked at mine, and mine came up. I was so many percent Nigerian and Cameroon, Yoruba, and a certain percent of Ethiopian and things like that. And minor percent, but then I even came up that I was 11% like West European, and I understand about that I was 1% Native American. I understand where that come from. That 11% Western European come by when the slaves were raped and on the plantations and things. And it's within my genes that they could pick it up that I have been in agreement with. But now, if a white person would take it, they're going to come up and they don't tell you what it's about. They might have 5% others, 2 or 3% others. And what that is, that other is the African part that came out of Africa that they don't mention to that. Because all of us came from that, and as I said, all of us have the DNA and different things, mitochondrial Eve. That's what we all conclude we have there. And that's the inheritance. We inherit those things. Then it's called the law of dominance and segregation. And then the law of dominance is, I told you earlier about the dominant can come up with the recession, but the recession cannot fool the dominant. Also, is the law of part of that is, in other words, we have what you call albinos. And they are almost like a mutation because they don't have melanin in their skin. They don't have melanin in their skin. They lack something what they're supposed to have is melanin. And that came from the mutation about them adopting to the climate in which they move. Then Mendel had the law of segregation. And the law of segregation simply means that when they left Africa and went up and they went through the mutation and turned like albinos, they began to just marry within themselves. And they segregated up in just in Europe and they married. So the people start coming out and without melanin in their skin. They lost the melanin in their skin. And then the last one is the law of independent assortment. Now, if you would, after they left, they stayed white, but when they start moving and venturing further down south, going into Asia and other places, that skin tone start changing and their assortment with different other races start coming. But the dominant, there's a dominant gene, which is dark, meaning dark skin is dominant, and recessive genes come from white, brown eyes, and blue eyes is recessive. So again, I've never seen a white horse run in the Kentucky Derby. The terminology that's used is a thoroughbred, meaning that you're a pure breed. Now, I've heard of so many times we've talked, and this is going to go back. I'm going to do this before I go off into the biblical part. We are taught so many falsehoods in the Bible. Not in the Bible, but in history. We have some falsehoods that's been taught in the Bible, but there are certain things that through the Europeans, through in Rome, King James and others, they when you have people that do the transliteration and translating, if they are racist, if they're xenophobic people, then they're going to write it and interpret it the way they feel it should be. That's why all dark-skinned people were taken out of the Bible, in which there were no white people in the Bible after Genesis, the 11th chapter. They left out and went up in Europe. Now, this is something that I want you to say. Like in America, we train our children with false information that Europeans or Columbus discovered America. In reality, Columbus never set foot on the American continent. Hispaniola, out there towards Haiti, that's where he landed. He never came to America. But when Columbus came here 900 years and further back in the Americas, they had a civilization called the Olmec, is a civilization that was here. And they had colossal heads. Some of them were 1,200 years before Christ. They go back way before Christ, thousands of years back in Moses' time. They found colossal heads that they back 14 feet tall, made out of stone. And they had big lips and broad nose. I mean, nose looked like an African-American nose, so broad and big lips. That's not a Indian. That's not a Caucasian. That is an aboriginal type person. Now, they found 17 of these colossal heads. And that's been discovered to the date. And four of them are in a place around Mexico they call La Venta. You know, and they have a place called San Lorenzo that you could find them in. They're all over there. But these are things that are not being taught in our school. Now, these are, and it's very important that we learn these things. And I do my study, and like I said, everything that I said, the Olmec, you look it up. When you look that up about the Olmec people, you look it up, and it's OL-MEC, Olmec people. And you can look up anything that I'm saying. You can look it up, and this is not by, you know, some might say that's a whole lot of black folk writing things. No, this is by your white scholars writing it, but as though we won't read and understand really what's going on. That's the thing. What's going on? We don't understand exactly what's going on. We're going to go back, and now it's time for us to go into the Bible. Now, I always start off when it talks about God talks about making man and making him in his own image. In the Bible say, God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. I have never saw white dirt. If man was created from dirt, well, and we have this thing even in Berry, our pastor, we say, from dust thou art, dust thy still return. When white people die, they turn purple. They go back to the same color dirt that you go back to, a person of color. From dust thou art, dust thy still return. Now, it's important that we understand that I'm just using this for example. But as you go further through your Bible, and you start that, the Bible talks about where the Garden of Eden was not in Europe. Part of the Garden of Eden would have been around Babylon, where it is today, Euphrates and the Tigris River, around that area. But the other part would have been in Africa, and I'm just of the mindset that the continents were joined together, because not until 1900 were the continent of Europe and Asia separated when they built the Suez Canal. Before then, you could walk right from Egypt to the Holy Land. You could walk from Egypt to the Holy Land. It wasn't until 1900, and you can look this up, what the Suez Canal made. That's why you don't hear lions and all these people within the Holy Land, because it's been separated now. You know, David said that he killed lions, and David is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you could go on different tours in the Holy Land and never come upon a lion. They talk about crocodiles, and you go too far up north, you're not going to find crocodiles, because the crocodiles are not cold weather animals. Amen? Now, going on further in that, we're going to get to where the nations came from, where the Bible talks about different nations. Now, and when you get to that portion, it begins to talk about when God created that, he had created Noah. And out of Noah, Noah had three sons. Noah and his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when you do your studying on these three, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you're going to find out that during this time, that Shem is the father of the Shemites, or the Semites. Japheth is the Japhites, means European, means European. Ham is the African. Now, but Shem and Ham were dark complexion people that looked the same. And you might say, well, where you get that from? And you're like, I don't understand what I'm saying. Yes, I understand what I'm saying. This is something that we haven't, we've been covered up. So much of it have been covered up through years of Europeans making these things and making movies and covering all these things up. Well, I would like you to pay close attention to what's being said. The book, and some books that's good to buy is like From Timbuktu, okay, by Rudolph Arden Winslow. And he talks about it. And when I'm talking about, if they'll talk about who were their children, they said that Ham was the progenitor of Cush, Mitherim, and Canaan. Canaan would be the people of the Palestinians and the people in the Holy Land. They were supposed, and they said that Hamites were black. But all of a sudden, but Mitherim is Egypt, and they call Mitherim and Cush brothers, meaning Ethiopia and the Sudan was Cush, and Egypt is Mitherim, and Put is down that way too. But once the Caucasians start making everybody in Egypt white, I find something strange with that. And then you look at pictures on the pyramid, those that they haven't turned white, if you could get the older pictures of it, the people are dark-skinned. Some of them are black and some of them are brown. But this is what we get, that when, for some reason, Europeans, especially the Romans, have rewrote history and whitenized the whole historical complex as if no one else played any part in history. I'm just going to read an excerpt from you from Babylon to Timbuktu, and it talks about the people. And I'm going to show you some. The people who resided in the lower part of the Tigris-Euphrates Valley were Ethiopians. Now, this is why. Now, the reason I'm bringing this to you is because Jephthah and Exodus, the 11th chapter, is where they build the Tower of Babylon. But once you get an opportunity, those who are listening, read the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis. They're going to tell you who were the children of Shem. They're going to tell you who were the children of Ham. And they're going to tell you who were the children of Japheth. But now they're going to tell you that Japheth left and went into Europe. But now, what color was, we know they say that the children of Ham were black, but what color was the children of Shem? Now, I'm going to answer this question for you. And you can look it up if you can look it up at the World Martyr Nation and others, like I did my research. And look, the people who resided in the lower parts of the Tigris-Euphrates Valley were Ethiopian, black in complexion. We read in Genesis 10 and 8, Cush begot Nimrod. The word Cush means Ethiopian. Cush was the father of Ethiopian. For the meaning of the word Cush in Webster New College Collegiate Dictionary, Nimrod was a mighty Ethiopian conqueror and builder in the land of Shinar. We find in Genesis 10, 8, and 10 that Nimrod ruled over such cities as Babylon, Erech, Akkad. All those cities are situated in the land of Shinar. Another name for Shinar is Sumer. The civilization of Sumer, this 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, before Abraham and with Abraham, the civilization was of a high order and one of the oldest civilizations in ancient times. In Genesis 10 and 7, we read, "And the sons of Cush was Sheba and Havilah. Now we have learned that Havilah was the son of Cush, who was an Ethiopian." The word Havilah comes from the name of a tribe and a region known in the land of Havilah, Ethiopia. You know, it lived in the land of Havilah. And, you know, moreover, scholars have located this land near the Persian Gulf. In search of the land of Havilah, we find there was another Havilah also, but this was a Shemite who was the son of Jokim. But Havilah was of the, this was of the line of Shem. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The children of Shem were called Shemites, the son of Ham were called Hamites, and the son of Japheth were called Japhites. We should not confuse the Havilah, the son of Jokim, with Havilah, the son of Cush. Now, it is logical to conclude that Havilah, the son of Cush, is it intended in Genesis, the second chapter, and the 11th verse, to be Havilah of the land of Havilah, because Havilah was a Cushite Ethiopian habitation, would naturally be adjacent to his brother Nimrod. Now, when you go on, and then this is, now watch it, this is where Abraham came from. Abraham was one of the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Abraham's father Terah came from the land of Ur the Chaldees, Genesis 11, 26 and 28. The land of Ur of the Chaldees, this place was located at the southern part of the Euphrates. Chaldeans were one of the many Cushite tribes, meaning Ethiopian black tribe. Cush means black, a burnt face. That's what it means. According to the Bible dictionary, this dictionary defined further Cush, the name of the son of Ham, apparently the eldest, and of the territory and territories occupied by his descendants. The Cushite appeared to have spread it along tracts extending from the higher Nile to the Euphrates to the Tigris. History afforded many connections between Babylon, the Arab, and Ethiopian. There is more than adequate evidence that the ancient nation of Babylon, Akkad, Sumer, and Chaldean were inhabited by Cushite tribe, Ethiopia, on all sides of the Tigris River. And I did some research. Where Abraham came from was a Sumerian civilization. And I know they were Ethiopian. And I looked and I Googled this, and I simply asked, which I already knew, what color was the Sumerian? And they said that they were chocolate. Chocolate. Now, that means Abraham was chocolate, they say, with a stoop nose. That means self-thick nose. And these are the things that we have to look at that was put there. You know, under the name Shinar, the Dictionary Gazette section hints to this relationship, Shinar and Sumer. There is a definite of the blood relationship between the Dravanians and the Indians, and the Ethiopians and the Sumerians. The Sumerian civilization preceded the Babylon. The Sumerians found cities that exist more than 4,000 years before Christ, have found skeletons and ancient Dravidians and Neda type in Ur, Kish. All these places, they found writings to prove who the people were there at that time, and all kind of other things. There are scriptures to tell you what color it is. I'm just going to give a couple of scriptures that to look up. And if you want to know how to find these different individuals, like who was Shem and who was Ham and who was Japheth, just go to the 10th chapter. And then in the 42nd chapter of Genesis, that 10th chapter of Genesis, 42nd, it'll tell you what color these people were. Exodus 20th chapter will too. Acts 21st chapter, even with the Apostle Paul, the Romans thought he was an Ethiopian. In Matthew, the second chapter, they took Jesus to Egypt. Amos will tell you what color they are. You know, all you have to do to find out what color the Egyptian were and the other, all you have to do is do a National Geographic have Black King of Egypt or Black King, and you'll find out who they are. Now, this is something else I'm going to show. I'm going to tell you something. Adolf Hitler, in Time Life magazine, had wrote a letter. And in the letter, he said the white so-called Jews were bastards. That's what he called them, bastards. And then 11th century, not until 11th century, the word they were called Jews. The word Jew shouldn't really be in your Bible, because first of all, there's no such thing as a J. The next thing it is, the word Lord shouldn't be in there. The word Jesus shouldn't be in the Bible, because there's no such thing as a J. J in Greek or the Hebrew tongue. All this stuff were just so much of the stuff was added on at another time. And I don't know if some of us have looked at it. There are certain African Americans who have white spots all over them. Their face might be white, and half their face white, half brown, all over their hands got white blotches and things like that. That's what you call like leper white. So my thing is this. This is what I want us to pay attention to. That was like a mark of leprosy. Okay. If the person is white and that person have leprosy, you couldn't tell the person had leprosy because of what color they are. They were leper white. That means that if you're white, you wouldn't be able to tell. But being black or brown skin, you'll see the white spots all over your hand or your arm or your face. That's the difference. That's your leper white. That's all you have to do is look it up. Everything is right before you. All of this is right before you. All you have to do is look up Amos 9 and 7, Isaiah 10, 11 chapter verse 10 through 12. There are different things that we can look up and find out exactly what's what. I was talking about why. Also, I talked about where the Garden of Eden was, and we were talking about they used the name Nagayon and the Pishon. And they were talking about how the river went into four different heads. One river turned to four different heads. But now they say the Pishon and the Gion is the Nile River, which is in Africa. It is not in Asia. It's not in Asia Minor. Most scholars said that it consists of the Pishon and the Gion. One is the Blue Nile and the other is the White Nile. And the landmass was joined together. And I'm a firm believer that I'm a student of that thought, that the land was joined together. And because the garden would have to be so large, for every type of animal to exist in that area. I mean, you can't have a very few animals in a small area like right over around Tigris River and the Euphrates, right in that small area. You can't have lions, tigers, bear, every animal known to mankind. You can't have it. You can't. It won't. It doesn't go that way. But it was a large mass of land, and they talk about it, how that went. So, and I want us too to understand, in trying to figure out what color were the real Israelites. They couldn't have been white, because I just showed you information from where they came from. They came from a Sumerian civilization, which were it talks about at that time around Abraham, and Abraham is the father, and they said that they were chocolate with stewed noses. But I want us to understand this, that when Joseph went to Egypt, sold into slavery in Egypt, and about 14 years later when his brothers came there and needed food, they thought that Joseph was an Egyptian. Why? Because Egyptians were black at that time, and the Israelite, not Jews, I'm not going to use that term Jew, because there's no such thing as Jew. That's just a short for to say Judean. And the covenant was not made with Judah, it was made with Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. That term Jew came into being not until late. And in the 1600s, it came in the Bible really about 1740 something, in the 1700s, that it was put in the Bible by 11th century, if I'm right. But we have to understand these things. This is not what was supposed to have been written. That's why the Bible asks us to study to show ourselves to prove unto God that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, as I look at these different things and I do my research and go over it, again, I want to make the statement that I don't want to, and this is a major concern about Bible readers as well as scholars, as black men and women, dark skin, people of color. We know of the racial injustice that we face on a day-to-day basis. But we ought to understand this too. Well, the same people that deny civil rights, the same people who held us in bondage and slavery, tell us the truth. Well, they tell you the truth, who you are. And whenever you tell them that Jesus was a dark-skinned man, they'll tell you that you shouldn't worry about what color he was. But then, well, while you continue to make him be white, why don't you put in who? And matter of fact, they have what they call a Madonna over in Europe today toward Russia and other places. There's a picture of a black lady with a black baby. That's the early picture, the Black Madonna. The Coptic Church of Egypt have one of the oldest pictures, the earliest pictures of the Last Supper, and everyone was black or brown. But when they got to Europe, everybody started looking like the people in Europe. Something is strange, and the people were not there. I talk about Gregoire Mendel talking about how they had to move down to come down. It wasn't until that when whites really start showing up in the Bible, back in the Bible from before Abraham, they didn't show back up until over 1,000 years later with Alexander the Great. So we need to look at those things. And also, even then, the children, the Semites, who already, they say it came from Sumerian people, and they came from around over the Chaldees, that they intermarried with the children of Ham. I told you that Joseph went into Egypt, and they thought Joseph was an Egyptian. But Joseph married a Sinta, which was an Egyptian, black Egyptian woman. From there, he had two twins, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, Ephraim was the grandfather of Joshua. All these people were now, what really convinced me so much is when I grew up, people were saying, like, well, the Bible is the white man's book. Not really. All he did was flip the script. Deception is something. Two terms you have to deal with, deception and ignorance. deception, trickery. All what was turned around was made everybody white or Caucasian. And knowing in that part of the country, people were not white. Joseph could never have passed for an Egyptian. Abraham was able to go to Egypt. Abraham was of a dark complexion person. Now we need to really listen at exactly what's being taught and take our time and listen as we go along with the Bible and read it for what it says and get to know the certain areas. Now, you know, they say Abraham's wife Sarah was barren, but she gave him her handmaiden, which was a servant, and she became his concubine or like a wife, and she begot Ishmael. Now, we know that Ishmael's mother was Hagar, and that Ishmael, some try to say Ishmael is the father of the Muslim or the Arab race, but Ishmael came from a child of Ham, and this is one of the things that we need to do. We need to look at. Now, dealing when we deal with that now, we find also Sarah had Isaac. But after Sarah died, Abraham married another black lady whose name was Keturah. And all throughout your Bible, you'll find that the children of Abraham or the children of Shem, they married Hamite women. And I just want to say, black on black make black. Two dark-skinned people make a dark-skinned race. Now, there can be a mutation. There can be a mutation, and with that mutation, you can come out with a mutant and come out with an albino. But now, we have to understand when we go even further that they had separated and the Caucasian left out the Bible and went up into Europe after the 11th chapter. Now, when Abraham came about, there were no whites in the Holy Land at that time. Only people that was there, Abraham hadn't came because he was coming from Ur of the Chaldees. It was the children of Ham. You know, we when we look at things, it's time that we really look into things. You know, we need to understand that the readers of the Bible, if we believe the Holy Bible, but I believe racism have caused different portions of the Bible to be misquoted. I believe that there are different things that's been said by, and anytime if you want the people who have brought people over from Africa and made slaves out of them, and even in Deuteronomy, we go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28 chapter and 68, we are the only people that meet the description of the true Hebrew Israelites. Notice I didn't say Jew, but Hebrew Israelites. The 12 tribes of Israel who the covenant was made with. Now, it says that they would be taken, and if anybody get an opportunity, read for yourself that 28th chapter, and it's going to talk about the curse of Israel. the curse of Israel. We're going to talk about the curse of Israel. And that's the curse, and it talks about us that they will be taken by ships. To a foreign land or to Egypt, again, and the word Egypt could mean just place of bondage, and never to come back again. That we're going to come back to our homeland, but they said and be sold. We are the only race of people that went by ship to a foreign land and were sold as bond slaves. We're the only race. But now I want us to understand that. Even with the original Israelite, the color in the Old Testament, the personalities, and everything that is written says that most of us that came over with the slave trade fit the description as the true Hebrew Israelite. Now let's continue to play attention to the crossbreeding of Hebrew blacks throughout the Bible, Hebrew and Hamites or Shemites in the Bible. It's easy to understand that black on black make black or dark on dark make dark. We have been told for many years that we are inferior, that we are cursed, we are a lower form of a human being, soul and channel like with cattle or something. We have been mistreated just as they said the Bible talks about the children of Israel. In studying the Holy Bible, we find that all the way through it has been crossbreeding. Such restriction existed at the time. They were saying, and the reason why they were saying that they were not to interbreed was not because of color, because they were the same color. But it was because of that difference in worship. And now this is the thing. Israelites were already mixed people, or they were already dark-skinned people entering and departing Egypt. This is why scholars and historians have written that Hebrews were African of African origin. The Greek historian and geographer Strabos states that during his lifetime that it was not unusual for historians to think that Israelites were of black ancestors. Strobos went on to say that Israelites living in Western Judea were African or Egyptian. Roman Tacitus supports Strobos by saying Israelites were of Ethiopian race. These are Roman and Greek philosophers and historians. Modern white Jews received their praise, their culture, and the popularity. But I want us to understand, I don't believe today, and I talked about this maybe earlier, I would like to just touch base with this, because so much of this has been said. And is that they said that these white Israelites. Well, the people that's over there today are by far not Israelites. A lot of them don't have the bloodline nor the culture. The people that's over there now called Ashkenaz. If you look up Ashkenaz, that's the main population. Ashkenaz, they call itself Ashkenaz Jew, but there's no such thing as a Jew. Okay? You can look up the terminology. And matter of fact, the word Jew shouldn't be in the Bible because there's no way for you to spell it in Hebrew or Greek. The people over there, the word Ashkenaz mean they're from Lithuania or right around Caucasia or Russia. And they're off the lineage of Japhet. So you have to be off the lineage of Shem to be an Israelite. Amen? Look it up. The next one is The next one is serfdom. And then and the serfdom really are Spaniards, Portuguese, and then that Khazars that's on the other side of Turkey. And it's a good many of them over there right now that make up the majority of the population. Serfdom have over 500,000 of them that's over there right now. And Eskenazi almost 11 million. And Khazars, the north of Turkey. Now, this is important that we understand that these people are not Israelites. And I would admonish you to look up this name. Those who are listening, look up this name. The name is Gamal Abdel Nasser. Gamal Abdel Nasser. He was the president of Egypt. And in 1952, he wrote a letter and he had a speech on television. Where it was on national television. And his words were, "We the Arab League refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? That they could never accept them. Why they can't accept them? Because the people over there know that you done brought, and nobody else, the Arabs not that color, nobody else, but you bring people from Caucasians down that way, don't look like an African, don't look like an Arab, and put them there and say that they are the real Hebrew Israelites. No, that's strategic positioning. They gave people a country, a land that none of them wanted to be with. Hitler himself called them bastards. That's what he called them. And all you have to do is look at Time Life magazine. It's in there. That's what Hitler made a statement about the people. I'm not talking about anyone, but I know one thing, that they are not the original Hebrew Israelites. And I know that anyone could take up Judaism or some teaching and call themselves a Jew. That's what they done. They took it up, the worship, and they called themselves Jews in America. I think it was France and Britain. Others gave them a land, a country to live in. They were the people didn't want them around. There was something like gypsies traveling about. People didn't want them. So now, it's not now. I have nothing against this. And if you think I'm kidding with you, if you ever get a chance to just go to your phone or your laptop, whatever you have, and look up Zondervan Compact Dictionary and look up the term Ham. And what did it tell you? It said the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to go through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, but not the Negroes. And the reason he said not the Negroes was because those that you call Negroes were the Shemites. If I'm not an African, well, who am I? And that's what they were. The Shemites never wore white. Shemites, and it's proof. We're a modern nation. I've quoted you from many, many different ones and tell you that they were not. Now, as we look further, and I've told you about Moses, to show you who they were. Moses was in Egypt. Moses' mother, Jochebed, put Moses in a basket, and they say they put pitch in it, and floated him down the river. And his sister Miriam followed the basket. Pharaoh's daughter Now, Pharaoh's daughter took the basket, but before then, and brought him in, and she raised him. But the before that, any of that happened, Pharaoh said to kill all the Israelite babies that come off the birthing stool up to 2 years old. Now, if a white baby would have came up Pharaoh's house and he would have been black and a white baby came there, that kid would have been killed. The reason why they couldn't kill the kid, all of them looked alike. They were the same color. Well, Dr. Kemp, you may be wrong. No, I'm not wrong. Because when Moses was raised in that house for 40 years, he ended up killing an Egyptian and he fled to the land of Midian, where his wife, where it ended up being his wife, Zipporah, met him, and she told her father, Jethro, that they found an Egyptian. Now, it's written in the Bible that Egypt and Cush are two brothers. Mesopotamia and Cush are brothers. These are two countries like brothers. They're the same color. But yet Moses looked like them. Joseph passed for one of them. They took Jesus to hide Jesus from them. The Apostle Paul in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. The Romans thought that when Paul started speaking, when he told them that he was a Roman citizen, he started speaking. The people say they thought that Paul was an Egyptian. It's all these things are in your Bible. It tells you who the people are. But it's incumbent upon us to do our research and finding out. And I'm just so proud of the research. You know, we talked about the world model nation under the past history that dates back before the time of Abraham, the land of Ur, the Chaldees. Those who inhabited the country were dark-skinned inhabitants, shrines, implements, and pottery found on various sites can be dated as early as the 5th millennium. Some sites bear names that are familiar to Bible, which considered the land between the two streams, the location of the Garden of Israel, which is Ur of the Chaldees, the land of the patriarch Abraham. Now, I just gave you more knowledge of that about Abraham and his color. Joseph married the black Egyptian woman. That's in Genesis 41 and 45. Like I told you, her name is Asenta. That Potipharah, which was the priest, that was his daughter that he married. Ephraim and Manasseh, and I told you off that came Joshua. Let us not stand idle and study history like in America and in Europe. Only history that we learn is history, the story of white. We never learn any history about anyone else. No one else exists in this world but Anglo-Saxon. One would think no other race had any part of shaping even America. And when it came, the indigenous people were here. Now, the Webster College Dictionary has to say about the definition of an Arab. A member of the Arab is an Arabic-speaking people, a civil citizen of the Arabic-speaking nation, a member of the Semitic people, inhabited since the ancient times. The Arabian Peninsula and the desert fringe of Mesopotamia, Levant, spreading throughout the Southwest and North Africa, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates. We'll notice none of these races are white. Notice everyone that I call Saudi Arabia, all of them, nobody in that area are Caucasian. But yet, when you're portraying Christ or you're portraying something, all the people are white. Now, in the book of Titus, Ethiopia, the missing link in African history, support the theory of the ancient empire of Ethiopia from past days with the richest heritage. They have the richest heritage in history. Ethiopia was considered by the Greeks the home of God and the retreat of the masses. Now, it talks about the land of fertile fields with riverbeds of diamond and mountains of gold and the Isle of the Blessed, the land of the setting sun, where the giant Atlas was compelled by Olympus Jove to prop up the heavens upon his head and shoulders. The vast desert which lies south of the Atlas, known as the Sahara, is called by the Moors people. Now, Moors people, they had Moors people that conquered Spain and all these other places by the Moors. Now, Moors were Africans. The Garden of Allah, that's what Ethiopia called, where the chariots of the gods, whose flaming wheels burnt the soil into sand, scorched the children of Africa, and crisped their hair, for which the word Ethiopia is termed, sunburnt by the gods. The word Ethiopia was originally pronounced Ethiopia, meaning burnt face. These are terms that were used to signify the term that was used by the Greek, the Roman, and many others to signify who the people were. All of this is within our history. Now, as we look and we study, you can go all the way back and you can look at pictures of Haile Selassie, a black Ethiopian king, said that Aram was the 35th child of Adam. Josephus, the historian, Flavius Josephus, said that there are old traditions, which, and I said this last week, that state that Adam had 33 sons and 23 daughters. You know, oftentimes we read the Bible and they say, well, how could Adam and Eve have children, have Adam have children, and Adam and Eve have kids? But they say when they had a couple other kids, that Cain, after killing Abel, he went off and he got married. Well, he married his sister, the Bible said, and he knew his wife. She was his sister. The Bible, now the Jewish historian, these are the people that write the history of Israel. Flavius Josephus, the Antiquities of the Jews, he states that it was 33 sons and 23 daughters. You know, in the African language, we find that African language is the oldest language in the world. And it had its birth and growth before and beyond the flood. The language that we call Hebrew is nothing but a deviation of an African tone. R.G. Layton in the book Man and the Migration, and that's on page 156. It's under Martha 7. About Ethiopia says, in the language of Abyssinia and Gerzeran and Tigre, admitted as long as they had been known to Semitic people and graduate through the Arabs and the Phoenicia of black Ethiopian Israelites to this day. And that's a story about, and it's not matter hundreds of years ago, but matter of fact, I'm gonna let you listen at this. Known as Semitic, graduated through Amharic and the Phoenicia of black Ethiopian Jews to this day. The Gephardt, the other language which may be well studied in Dr. BK's available. Valuable comparative table in Aegon from unequivocal indigenous to Abyssinia, meaning Ethiopia, threw this into the true Negro class, but unequivocally as may be the Semitic element of the butchery of Coptic of Gala. And we know some of the slaves came over in Virginia and Carolina and spoke Gala. That affinity with the tongue of the Western Southern Africa are more so. The Bible teaches that those who became Israelites in Egypt as 70 shepherds grouped in 12 patriarchal families. 400 years later, they left 600,000 strong men, not counting the women and the children. If I would give every man a wife, that would be 1.2 million. Every man, two kids, it'll be 3.7 million people that they left. In 400 years of enslavement in the United States, it would be very hard to find a purebred African Hebrew Israelite today. This transpired through the crossbreeding of slave and master. That is why today we find blacks from the lightest of light to the darkest of dark. You call America a rainbow because we're the lightest of light to the darkest of dark on the spectrum. Dr. William Moseley, who wrote What Color Was Jesus? And question one was, along with other scholars, support the fact that on page 7, Mr. Moseley writes, so the original Hebrew were non-white stock. We may conclude that the original Israelite were considerably more black at the time of the Exodus than present-day Israelite. Furthermore, historical records state that ancient Israel, Egypt, and Ethiopia were not only close geographically, but they said just because they was right by Egypt, they also were close socially, culturally, economically, and political. Both sacred and secular writings describe the presence of Ethiopia people in Egypt and Israel from the Exodus to the birth of Jesus played a very important role in all that we see today. So now I'm going to stop right there tonight. And if we have any questions that anyone would like to ask tonight, I'm open for any questions that anyone would like to ask. And I just think it's so important that we learn of ourselves. Amen. We're going to ask Reverend William to find out if there's anyone on that want to ask a question pertaining to the ancient Israelites.
Okay. God bless you tonight, Dr. Kemp. What a wonderful show. We thank you for that history talk tonight on Breaking Chains. We're always grateful for the lessons that you bring here on every Tuesday night, and we look forward to the next Tuesday when you come back and teach again. So right now we're going to open up the lines. If there are any questions, statements, or comments for Dr. Kemp, the line is now open. Feel free to ask your questions. See, we do have some guests on the line. Not sure if they have any questions, but the line is open. Feel free. God bless you. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Oh, God bless you, sir. Hold on, Apostle. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say that I listen. I enjoyed the teaching by Brother Kemp, and I want to recommend a book that I have in my personal library. And the book is called The Invention of the Jewish People. The Invention of the Jewish People, and the author is Shlomo Sayn. Okay, you have that?
I already have the book.
Okay, I had that.
I already have the book. That's what I said earlier. They were invented. And let me expound on that. They were invented. That's when I talked about Hitler, and I went back with these mothers much before that time. When they brought them over, they really, when I said Ashkenaz mean you from the tribe, you from off Japheth, and the people that's mm-hmm. over there are Ashkenaz. That means it's mm-hmm. Lithuania, Caucasia, and that area. Then I say Serfdom, mm-hmm. that means that you're Portuguese or Spaniard. That's who living mm-hmm. over there. And then you got the Khazar, which is from Norfolk, right around Norfolk, what you call Turkey. Those are the
right.
people that they are really not. They took upon, they invented themselves as being being Israelites, and there's no such thing as a Jew, because the word is Yahuda, and there's no such thing as a J. The term Jew was put in the Bible by King James back in, but it wasn't even in the King James Bible in the 1400s. I don't think it was even in the Bible in the first 1400s. If you go back and look at the King James Bible, the term Jew, the term Lord, and the term Jesus was not put in the Bible. Now, right. The term Jesus would have been because the one of the latest alphabets even added to the English language is the letter J, which was never put in the Hebrew or the Hebrew or the Greek. So you can't make the word if you don't have a J. So people, they really call, when they say a Jew, that means only one group. And then they try to say show for Judah, which is just one group. The covenant was made with the children of Israel. They just took on they call it Judaism, which was the religion of the Old Testament. They try to come and take that, and they came through, which they are really the Gentiles. They are the Gentiles, and they claim, now they're claiming to be Jews. When I made this statement, and if you go back and you read about these fake Jews, okay, you'll find out that in 1952, Gamal Abdel Nasser, you can look this up, Gamal Abdel Nasser, he wrote to them, and that's when America, Britain, and France gave them a homeland, which the people were not. I told you they were serfing them, they were Ashkenaz, and they were Khazar. They gave them that land. They came there and began to do a worship. There are no way, no bloodline, no DNA or anything. They are so far from being an Israelite. The Israelites were dark-skinned people. They gave them that land. And this is what the king before Anwar Sadat was the president in 1952, was Gamal Abdel Nasser. You look up his speech, and he said these words: "We, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them." And if somebody say, you left black and you came back white, we can't accept you. No, you're not the real, they're saying, you're not the real people. The people just took up the religion. That's what you're talking about. The people made, and the word, the term just end up popping up. The term they made, that's a made term.
Right.
Okay.
And I want to say this. Thank you so much for that. When I looked at what the topic, while I was looking through the shows, because I have a blog talk radio program called New Orleans Wake Up. I'm here in New Orleans. And when I read the description of the nice topic and I saw the name, well, you're Mr. LaVert Kemp, right?
Correct.
You and I match on DNA, and I've been talking to your brother for quite some time after he and I met.
Who are you?
this is Warren. This is Warren in New Orleans.
Okay.
And
Sam and I
always talk.
Man, this is a small world. I done hooked up with my cousin on there.
we have a point coupe connection. From around the, you know, the Chenal Creek and Chenal and the Chaffala River and the False River, we all come from there.
My mother and them from Chenal.
Right.
Interesting.
Thank you so much, and I'll try to tune in every Tuesday, and I also followed this show because, like I said, I have a show, a blog talk radio show, so I also click to follow this radio program here, and I'll continue to listen by way of my computer.
Okay,
amen.
Okay,
amen.
Juan.
Okay.
All right,
God bless
Juan,
you.
I'm going to let my brother know that I spoke with you tonight on the show.
Okay, definitely. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in tonight.
Love,
be blessed.
God bless.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. All right. Any other questions, or comments, or statements for Dr. Kemp tonight? The line is still open. Okay. All right, Dr. Kemp.
Yes, sir.
That is it. No questions or statements. No one else that I was holding have any statements or comments or anything.
Well,
we did have Apostle Gant. I don't know what happened to him.
Yes, I did hear Apostle Gant's voice. I don't know what happened either. Why don't you let my cousin take us away tonight, end the program with a prayer. I'm just glad to meet him.
He's already disconnected already.
He's disconnected. Well, again, well, bless you for giving me the opportunity and the opportunity to meet my cousin.
Amen.
Him and my brother have been conversating because they did that DNA, you know, Ancestry.com, and he came
up with
a match. It came up with a match, and he's right. That's where my mother from. You say Chenal, yeah, right off Falls River, yeah. That's right over where I go and get the cracklings from.
Okay. Where we went?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to do cracklings. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Amen. I'm blessed. Again.
That's good.
But I have that book where I have that tape stuff. Really, it's a tape series.
Okay.
The Invention of the Jews, yeah.
Yes, sir. Invention of the Jews, okay.
Yeah, the invention. They're invented. There's no such thing. A lot of that stuff, man, is counterfeit. Okay? It's counterfeit.
Yes, sir.
But that's the way it goes. Amen. Well, listen,
amen.
Okay, again, before I pray us out of here, I want to, again, thank you and commend you for trying to have a pulpit, a platform that we could teach our people the truth about the Bible, about history, the origin of man, about exactly who we are, and about the recessive and the dominant genes, and that, you know, that peer, you know, black is peer.
Amen.
And that we're not a curse. We're not dumb. But we're children of God.
Amen.
And the Most High. And God,
amen,
and God chose us to be his children. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. So God bless you, and I just pray that God continue to strengthen you and to give you that wisdom, and to be I'm not going to use certain terminology on the air because most of the people wouldn't know it. What I'm saying, if I say it, a freshenado, and it's a term that means that you have that innate, that something in you draws you to do something, that you have this, you're enthusiastic about opening up the Word of God, that you're in, it means to be enthusiastic about people learning the Word of God and the spreading of the Word. You have that innate ability inside of you, that something that's born inside of you, that innate ability to reach out to people and want the people to learn. So keep up the good work and different things, and God is going to richly bless you.
Yes, sir. God bless. Thank you, Dr. Kemp. God bless you, sir.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come, Lord, asking, Lord, that it was something said, and Lord, we pray it was something done in this broadcast, Breaking Chains,
yes.
History by myself, Lord, that was said, that gave us more knowledge of you and your will and how everything
yes,
started.
Lord.
We thank you,
yes.
Lord. We thank you so much for this platform
you,
being given by Reverend William. God bless him and continue to strengthen him.
Please,
he'll
Lord.
Continue to reach out to every man, woman, boy, and girl, letting them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Bless his going out and his blessings coming in.
Please, Lord.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him bountifully. Now, Lord, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you bless everyone that's listening. And, Lord, we ask that you would bless those families who've lost loved ones through COVID-19 and losing in the struggle. We ask that you bless those and heal those that are in the hospital. Lord, we ask that you move on the hearts and minds. Let us know we need to do the social distancing. Let us know, Lord, that we need masks. And let us know you're going to end it sooner or later. But let us be patient and endure until the end, until everything become okay. Lord, bless you, Lord. Bless every program that Reverend William put his hand to, make it be a blessing to all mankind, not just black, but white. And the words that I've said tonight and other nights is not to die on the Caucasian race, but so many lies have been told in the past. It's only to try to make things right. And no race is above no other race, Lord. We know this. You're no respecter of a person. So we thank you. Bless us. Bless the program. Yes. And let us go out and teach the world about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all out there. Be safe. Continue to put your mask on and take proper care of yourself. Wash your hands. Keep your hands clean. Keep yourself clean. Keep your distance. And take it easy out there, right? Be patient in the Lord. Have faith. Everything's going to work out to be all right. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, for the Mighty Men of Valor and the P31 ladies. We come together tomorrow and have a great night in fellowship and unity. So join us tomorrow right here on the same station, YET Radio, with Breaking Chains. Have yourself a blessed night. We love you, Dr. Kemp, and everybody out there. Much love to you from our hearts. God bless you. And find out your identity. Study. Learn your identity.
There is life in our songs, healing in our wings. We are children of God, join us with the King. Are you living?
Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.